T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A few prominent names were mentioned in the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, the woman who's accused of luring in and grooming young underage girls to have sex with Jeffrey Epstein and his friends and clients. Older men were the friends and clients. The pilot of Epstein's plane, the Lolita plane, testified in court yesterday that he was the pilot on flights with Jeffrey Epstein and young girls that included former President Bill Clinton, former President Donald Trump, Prince Andrew of the royal family, and actor Kevin Spacey. I have always talked about and shared with you my belief that there are a lot of powerful men who are involved in creating a market for sex with underage girls. And these men will do whatever they can to keep themselves from being exposed. One of the things that died with Jeffrey Epstein when he committed suicide or was killed, whichever it was, one thing that died with him was the idea that we will know who some of these men are. And frankly, I don't think these men should be allowed to go through life without being exposed for what they've done. They have paid money to have sex with underage girls. As a man, I find this to be deplorable. I don't understand it, but it happens. And why do you think when there's a Super Bowl in our city of New Orleans, or when there's a Super Bowl in any city, why do you think the sex traffickers, why do you think they bring sex trafficking to that city? Because there are rich and powerful men there who are paying for it. And I'm all for cracking down on and arresting the sex traffickers. But I think a little more emphasis should be placed on the powerful, rich men who create this market. Let's pay more attention to them, too. And let's start busting them. I have an acquaintance who has a sister who had an encounter with Jeffrey Epstein. Her name is Corey, and she joins us on WWL. Corey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to mention once again that listener discretion is advised here. We're not going to be obscene, but at the same time, we're talking about a mature topic. And as I said earlier, you know, if you've got kids in the car, just dump them off at some corner and then just circle the block and listen, come back and pick them up later. Just kidding about that. Don't do that, because actually somebody might do it. So look, Corey has a really interesting story, and she's going to be honest about who she was. And she's going to be honest about the situation that she was in. But it may shed some light on this person that we're hearing so much about in the news, Jeffrey Epstein, and some of the things that he did. So, Corey, let's start with you were old enough. You were not underage when you had this encounter, and you were a stripper, you were a dancer, and you worked as an escort. And you put an ad in a publication in South Florida, and the ad was answered by Jeffrey Epstein. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And then tell us what happened at that point.
At that point, he had me... And as you mentioned before, this was in a very long time ago, and I'm 35. This happened when I was about 24. And During that time, I was not the best person, obviously. I was doing a lot of things that were not good. And at the time of me answering that call with Jeffrey Epstein, he arranged a date for me to come to his house, his home. At the time, he had a home in Palm Beach, where I lived at the time in Palm Beach County. And he asked if I would come spend a few hours with him. I agreed to come, and my motivation or plan going in there was to rob him. Once I found out where I was going to, everybody knows that's a very rich area, and the type of lifestyle I was living back then, I didn't care. I didn't care about anyone. I just wanted as much money as I could, whenever I could, and I didn't care how I got it or what I did to get it.
All right. So you went with the intent. You went with the intent to rob him. At some point, you did you know how you were going to rob him, or were you going to first go into the room with him and then maybe figure it out from there?
We had a plan set in motion. My plan was, of course, I was obviously luring him in with an ad with sex. And once I was in there in the room with him, I had people waiting outside that were then going to enter his home. And then that's when I decided, once I got there, that that was not something that I wanted to do after speaking with him. Once I arrived there, I was dropped off there. Immediately as I walked in, I noticed there were a lot of pictures on the wall. There were pictures of children. And at first I wasn't really putting like two and two together, or nothing really kind of stuck out until I started like looking more at the pictures. He was very quiet, very, very quiet man. He was just asking me where I was from, you know, how long I had been doing this. Once I went into his bedroom and I saw more pictures, then it hit me like, okay, these aren't his grandchildren. These are, because there's different races of kids in these pictures. And they looked ranging from like toddlers to like young teens, of different races, girls and boys. So I asked him, you know, who are all these people in these pictures? They're obviously not your family. And he kind of just laughed, and he's like, well, I really like to, I'm into photography. I like to take pictures, and I love the youthfulness of children and their vibration, like just their
vibrance.
Pureness about them. Yes, yeah. Pureness about them. And then it kind of, it didn't really hit me yet, because honestly, at the time, my mind was so focused on, okay, like, what does he have? What can we take? What are we going to get? Does he have cash on him? What's here? I wasn't really paying attention at that point. And then he kind of could tell. I started then asking him questions like, what do you do for work? And he didn't exactly tell me who he was. He just kept telling me, you know, I work with a lot of Hollywood producers. I'm very prominent in Hollywood. But I thought he was just making this up. You know, I didn't believe him at all.
Corey, when you had this encounter with Jeffrey Epstein, his name was not in the news. I mean, he was in the news once in a while, but you didn't know who he was. You just knew that based on his address, this was one rich guy.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a huge home that we went to. Like I stated, in a very rich area in the city we lived in. So if you're on Palm Beach Island, you know they have a lot of money. So no, I was not aware who he was. I thought he was making the whole Hollywood thing up, to be honest. And he told me he was kind of a middleman for a lot of very famous people. So once again, in my head, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. So
all right,
I went into the room.
Can you hold on? I want to take a break here, and then when we come back, let's talk about what happened when you went into the room, and then tell us what happened that caused you to want to leave. I mean, first of all, you're a dancer, you're an escort. You've obviously seen a lot, and in the context of your world, I mean, you were going to rob the guy. So even in the context of that world, something just didn't seem right. And you left. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Corey, thanks for hanging on. I'm Scoot on the air. We will be right back on WWL. All right, welcome back to our show. I'm Scoot on the air. We're talking to Corey. And this is the sister of an acquaintance of mine. And I want to once again say that listener discretion is advised here. We're talking about Jeffrey Epstein. And Corey, when she was 24 years old, actually had an encounter with Jeffrey Epstein. She was at his house. It got to the point where she was in his bedroom, and he had basically hired her. She was a dancer. She was an escort at the time, and she put an ad in a local publication in Palm Beach County, and he answered the ad. So here she is at his house. She and some of her friends are there. Her friends are outside of the room, but she had friends there on the outside, and they were going there with the intention of robbing Jeffrey Epstein. Because of where he lived, they knew this guy had a ton of money. Beyond that, they didn't know anything about him. So, Corey, take us into the moment when you're walking into the bedroom, and tell us when you decided you weren't going to rob him.
Well, as I'm walking in the bedroom, I see more pictures of young children everywhere, even to the point they were on his dresser. And that's when I started feeling very uneasy. And I think he saw that, sensed that in my face. He asked me to have a seat. I sat on the bed next to him, and he asked me if I would mind role-playing, because there was a fantasy that he had, which I would need to pretend like I was his daughter. He was coming home from work. I had to call him dad. He was my father, and then he was going to pretend to rape me. Once he told me that, I got very uneasy. I've seen a lot of stuff, been through a lot of stuff, but when we start talking about rape or even pretend rape, I had a really bad, bad feeling in my stomach, to the point, at that point, I didn't even want to rob this man anymore. I felt like if we did something, something bad was going to happen. Just by his demeanor and how calm he was, and at that point, I told him, you know, I have to go to my car, because at this point I'm very, very creeped out now with you telling me what you want me to pretend to do. So I immediately text my friends, like, do not come in this house. I'm coming outside. I made an excuse up. I left. Upon me leaving, he called me.
Do you remember what the excuse was? What did you tell him you had to do?
I told him I had toys in my car, and I needed to go downstairs to get all of my stuff, my equipment that was in my car, and I was coming right back up.
Okay. And so he let you go. And
he let me go. I didn't want to make a scene, and I was so nervous at that point. I didn't feel comfortable just saying, like, I want to leave. I'm leaving here, because just his whole demeanor about everything, and then in combination with seeing these pictures and knowing, like, okay, obviously this person has a lot of money, I just started feeling very uneasy about the situation when he asked me to let him pretend to rape me. Mm-hmm. He then called me. He told me, you know, look, I just saw you leave. I saw the car you came in. I don't know what your intention was being here, but you're not going to tell anybody you were here. You're not going to show anybody where I live. You're not going to tell anybody what you saw in my house. And at this point, I'm getting angry now. I'm yelling. I'm telling him, you know, don't threaten me. I don't, you know, you're like a weird pedophile. Obviously, you have pictures of his kids all in your house. And he kind of just laughed. And I told him, you know, if you call me again, I'm going to contact the police, and I'm going to, like, tell the police you have pictures of kids in your house. And he then told me, he kind of just laughed, and he's like, you know, the town of Palm Beach, the police, they work for me, so good luck with that one. And then he told me if I did tell anyone that I was there, or that he hired me as an escort to come there, that he had very prominent people that could really make my life very difficult, and that I didn't want to do that. He didn't go into detail. He just basically warned me not to say anything, or he would basically try to ruin my life.
At that point, did you feel like he had the power and the ability to follow through?
Honestly, I did not. I was more concerned of, I at that point, I knew like something was wrong with him when he asked for me to pretend I was his kid. You know, that's when it hit me like, okay, wow, he likes little kids or something.
Well,
something
and then the idea kid. Of, and then the idea of raping his daughter or anybody for
yeah,
that matter.
Exactly. And that's when I got nervous, like, oh my God, like, will this man kill me? Will he like, you know, and that's what made me just completely get out of there. And I had no idea who he was or what type of power he had. I just literally thought he was lying about it.
Corey, how did you feel later when all of this hit the news and you realized that this was the man that you were with, this was the man that you rejected, this is the man that told you all those things? How did you feel?
I was very shocked. Not necessarily shocked. I was just, like I said, talking with him and seeing the pictures of kids, I knew there was something there with being like some type of pedophile to the mm-hmm. degree of who he was and what he did and having islands and you know, all this stuff that he did. I had no idea at all. I couldn't fathom it. And then seeing it on the news, and what happened, I was grateful. I was very, like, grateful that I listened to my instincts and that I left, that I didn't stay, because who knows, like, what could have happened if I would have maybe made him upset or, you mm-hmm. know, didn't go along with something, or God forbid, if I really would have went through and tried to rob this man, he probably could have had me killed. Like, you know, you just never know. So I'm very grateful.
You were 24 years old at the time, and this was about 10 years ago. You're 35 now. With all that we know about Jeffrey Epstein and underage girls and with the pictures that you're talking about, did it seem like you were a little old for him?
At the time, now looking back, like I could see that, you know, and at the time, you know, I looked very young. I probably didn't look a day over 18. So... as in that aspect, I had no idea, you know, I didn't know who he was, what he liked, what, but yes, seeing that in the news now, knowing that he targeted kids, children, teens, you know, it was just, it was mind blowing.
Did you have any contact with Ghislaine Maxwell?
I did not, no.
Is he the only person that you saw when you went to the house?
Yeah, he was there alone. It was just him.
Yeah. And again, I have to go back to the creep factor of this person that you were with. You were a stripper. You were an escort. You were there. And this was a part in your life when, you know, you even admit you were not a good person. You were there with friends outside waiting to rob the guy, and you weren't going to have sex with him. You were going to rob him. In that world that you live in, even in that world, what he said and his body language apparently shocked you so much that you just felt like you had to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we're talking about children, you know, harming children or forcing somebody to do something against their will, as in rape, that was something I've never would have ever done, believed in, condoned, anything. So just seeing the pictures of the kids and then him continuing with this fantasy that he had of raping his daughter, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it shows that even in the context of that world that some people would judge you, you had your own set of morality, your own set of lines that you would not go across.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you ever think to share the story with police?
At the time I didn't, it was more so a threat to him to get him to not call my phone or just, you know, kind of leave me alone. But I never thought, you know, to share this with police at the time or any other time, just because, you know, luckily that was the encounter I had. You know, I wasn't hurt. Nothing happened to me.
Right.
And you know, I didn't see anyone get hurt myself or anything in that nature. So I was very lucky.
Yeah. I would say you are one of the lucky ones. And at least you were old enough to know to get out before anything happened. Corey, I'm sure it's not easy talking about this part of your life, especially since you have changed and you're not that person anymore. But I appreciate you having the courage to share your story with us.
You're very welcome, and I thank you for your hospitality and making me feel so comfortable to be able to share this story with everybody.
Well, Corey, I appreciate you sharing the story, and again, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
All right, Corey, thanks for talking with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.